Well, that's good music. I hope you enjoyed it. I believe you did. We thank the Lord again, I say it, for our music department, the blessing they are. Music gets people's hearts ready. We worship God. It helps the preacher out to get him ready to preach the Word of God. It's never to replace the preaching, amen? But it is important, great ministry of the church. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, please. I want to talk to you just a few minutes tonight about the preeminence of love. The preeminence of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter, as it's sometimes referred to. Yet it's something that we need to be reminded of many times in our Christian walk, of our need for this kind of love. The three or four words, really, in the original languages that talk about love, and I've shared those with you before, but you have philos, and that's brotherly love, and then you have eros, which is erotic love, and you have agape love, which is the kind of love we should have. This is the kind of love that is talked about in this chapter. We need to give in our lives what God gave. And God gave love. Look at these verses. Though I speak with the tongues of men, verse 1, and of angels, and have not love, we have the word charity, but we can put the word love there because that's what it's talking about, this kind of love. I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love or charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, and is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, the need for them as such, as far as new prophecies. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And the original language lends to the fact they would cease abruptly and no longer be needed, the gift of languages as was used on the day of Pentecost. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And I think what is perfect here is the Word of God. We have the perfect Word of God. Not referring to Christ, but the perfect Word of God. When that's come, when we had it, the canon was completed, we had the perfect Word of God. Then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. I'm glad that's a reality in heaven. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity, or the greatest of these is love. And we as believers need to give out this kind of love that God has given us. For God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is the kind of love we're talking about. God gave Jesus. God gave the gift of love. And the gift of love we have received through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. If we're not careful, we'll lose the fine edge of that love that the Bible is talking about here. Be careful. Iniquity shall abound. And the love of many shall wax cold. We will lose the impact of that love. And I tell you tonight, as we've said many times, and we hear more and more all the time, that our world is in a mess. Our country is in a mess. We're in desperate trouble. There are a lot of social engineers out there that are coming up with ideas. They prescribe a lot of different cures for it. And they've said, in one sense of the word, maybe not the way we're thinking about it, what the world needs now is love. And they're actually right about that. The world needs love, and it's desperately needed. So let's look, first of all, at the value of love. The value of love. The King James says, charity, that equals love. The value of love is that it's indispensable. There is no substitute for love. The Scripture is very clear about it. There is absolutely nothing that will replace it. Look at verse 1, where he says that oratory, the great ability to speak, is not a good substitute for love. Look at it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Those things are part of it. And I saw a place where there was in a large part, a lion that was made out of iron. And through that lion's mouth was going water, and yet that lion never tasted a drop of it. And so sometimes we're sort of like that. Most have heard some speakers like that, that they have the gift of oratory. They don't understand that love is absolutely necessary when they're preaching. They're preaching the Word of God. They're teaching the Word of God. There must be love that is part of that, or other we become Dr. Sounding Brass and Dr. Tinkling Cymbal. Oratory is no substitute for love. And whether we're good at preaching or teaching or speaking, whatever it is, God says that's not where it is. It is more important than prophecy. Look at verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am zero. And you'll notice that all of these things amount to zero until the power of love is put in front of it, and then you have some power, like math in the mathematical equations. And so he's talking about some that are good at prophecy. They can offer messages on prophecy. You hear them on television all the time. And many of them make great, great sums of money because they know that people are intrigued by prophecy. And yet they don't have that love that is there that is needed. They are interested maybe in the future. And yet there are a lot of people that are interested in that. But sometimes if we're not careful, we go to seed on prophecy. And we get to arguing about the significance of the third toe on the beast in the book of Revelation and get all bent out of shape. And we don't have any love for each other. We argue to the point that we're ready to fight. We split theological hairs into seven equal divisions and fight over those divisions. But we don't have any love sometimes. We see that in fellowships. We see that among pastors and among other Christians. It amounts to intellectual nothingness. Really what it amounts to. All of that has no value unless there's love with it, and that has to be the ingredient. And then he talks about knowledge, again in verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy, he mentions that, and that I have all knowledge in the middle of the verse there, and I don't have love, and again, it's a zero. We've got to have love, and that's so important to recognize that. If we have a head full of knowledge and we don't have love, we don't have much. We just have a vacuum. John Wesley said, all knowledge without love is splendid ignorance. All knowledge without love is splendid ignorance. Think about it. Love is greater than oratory. Love is greater, according to the Bible, than prophecy. Love is greater, this kind of love, than knowledge. And then he talks about faith also. As he says that faith is important, certainly it is. Faith is important in the matter of getting saved. But he says in verse 2, though I have all faith and I don't have love, it's a zero. It's a big goose egg. It's a zero. In faith, you might have faith to remove mountains and brag about that. What good is it if you can remove mountains and you cannot remove malice? Think about that. We think about having faith to do all those other things, and we talk about it, but we don't have enough faith to remove the bitterness we have in our hearts or the malice that is in our hearts. And he says, without love, then it's zero. And then he talks about feeding the poor people. And a lot of people love to do that, and that's fine, and we have a responsibility of the church. But he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, whenever we do that and we still don't have love, then it's a zero, another zero. And so some have learned very well to give money but not give love. We've got to give love and money. We've got to give love and food. We've got to attach it to it. You can give without loving, you've heard that expression, but you cannot love without giving. But we want to be sure that when we give out of a heart of love. Not just some sense of obligation, but a heart of love. We want to do it. We enjoy doing it. We love to do it for the glory of God. And parents, sometimes we're guilty and have been guilty of giving material things to our children. Many a dad, many a mother do that, and yet they do not give them the kind of love, and they try to substitute love. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. Giving them time, being with your children, love is left out so many times, and they think that they can substitute it. But people need more than charity. People need more than pity. Our children need more than things. They need love. Then he talks about martyrdom. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Give my body to be burned as a sacrifice. False religions are doing that all around us. We see people giving their bodies in the Muslim faith and all of those things that are taking place. Most of them don't love themselves and they don't love anybody else. They just offer themselves as a sacrifice to a foolish cause. But Christians should be willing to die for our faith. As believers, we should be willing to die for our faith if it's necessary. The Lord is looking for people who will not only die for their faith, and I believe we need to be willing to do that, but people who will live for their faith. And in living out that faith, they will show the world the love of God. That's how we show our faith. One of the ways is by loving others, caring for others. And without love, again, it's a big zero. So that's the value of love. What about the virtue of love? Well, here's where we're going to plow real close. Husbands need to listen. Wives need to listen. Young people need to listen. Children need to listen. We all need to listen to this. Verse 4 says, charity suffereth long. In other words, charity is patient. Are you listening? We need to be patient. And if you say, I don't have much patience, what you're saying, I don't have much patience with you, you're saying, I don't have much love for you. The lack of patience to people in our lives is a lack of love. If we have love, then the Bible is so clear. Love suffereth long. Love is patient. Husbands, are you being patient with your wife? Wives, are you being patient with your husband? Teenagers, are you being patient with your parents? And parents, are you being patient with your teenagers? We need to have patience, and patience is love. And if we don't have patience, we don't have love. And then he says it's kind. Love is kind. Love is suffers long, and love is kind. And there's love in little things. You know, it doesn't hurt a Christian to be courteous. It doesn't hurt all of us to be courteous people and to practice that. We've lost a lot of that in our society, but we need to be courteous. A woman came forward in a service and she got saved, trusted Christ as her Savior. And the preacher said, what influenced you to accept Christ as your Savior? And she said, you did. And he said, well, I didn't know that. When did I do that? And she said, it's nothing you said. It wasn't anything you said from pulpit, it's what you did. And what it was, he was kind to her. And she said, I watched somebody really dress you down and criticize you, and I saw you just take it, and take it with kindness, and take it with love, and accept all of that. And when I saw that, I decided his faith is real, and what he has is real. And friend, that's true in your life. That's true in my life. We ought to have that kind of love. Then he says in verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Vaunteth not itself. These are some of the things that he's talking about here as he describes the variety of the things that can trouble us. And we should not be jealous. Love envieth not. He talks about those things. Love envieth not is a way of saying that we're practicing love if we don't envy. You know, jealousy is a terrible thing. And there are people, I grant you, in this building right here that are jealous of other people, jealous of other Christians. Jealousy is a green-eyed monster when we are jealous of others. You see, love gives credit where credit is due. And love has no problem praising others. Love is great, is glad to praise others. And they don't think that somebody else's gain is their loss. You know, if another Baptist wins the lottery, we ought to thank the Lord. No, I didn't say that, did I? There are different ways that ought to be done. But if they inherit money, we shouldn't be jealous if they decide to buy a brand new car and drive it up and unload their family right out here under the canopy. We shouldn't be jealous of anybody. God doesn't want us to be jealous of their gifts or anything else. Jealousy is a terrible thing, and it is something that we have to work on all the time. We will not cringe in our hearts. We will not get uptight when other people are praised and maybe we're not praised like we think we should be. Love is humble when he talks about it. Vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. All of this speaks of humility. Love and pride should not dwell in the same heart. Just shouldn't be there. Love and pride. True love can say this. Listen. Boy, this is so hard to say. True love can say, I am sorry. Amen? I'm sorry. True love can say these words, please forgive me. Real love is willing to say that. True love can say, I forgive you. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I forgive you. We don't use those words a whole lot in our vocabulary, but we should use them more often than we do. Now, if it's a practice every 5 minutes, you've got another problem. But at any rate, when you have those issues that are coming and that have come, we need to do that. Love doesn't behave unseemly. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. And what is he talking about? Well, I think he means love is not rude. Love is not rude. People say, well, I just say what I think. Why advertise your ignorance? You know, I just say what I think. I don't care what anybody thinks. That's just me. You got to know how I was raised. And I just say what I think. And I speak forthrightly. As if that's a big deal. If it's not done in love, my friend, it's not the right thing. It has to be done in love. And then it is unselfish. Again, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Love does not seek its own way. Boy, we want our own way. And that is characteristic of a carnal Christian rather than a spirit-filled Christian. I want my way. It's my way or the highway, friend. That's it. No, that's not love. That's not the kind of love. We ought to be asking the question, how can I think like the Lord Jesus Christ? How can I show the kind of love that God wants me to show? And then love is even-tempered. I believe he mentions that. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Is not easily provoked. I think that means even-tempered. Some people, you know, are easily provoked. There's some Christians that walk around, they got a chip right over here, And if that one's not pretty healthy, they'll have one right over here. And that isn't the Christian attitude to have. They're easily provoked. And all of us know some people that are easily provoked. They have a hair trigger. You don't want a gun like that, you get in trouble. But you don't want a temper like that, it'll get you in trouble. And you say, well, I've heard all of that, and that doesn't mean anything. It ought to mean something to you. It's what the Bible says. It has to do with true love. And if we don't have it, we have a zero in its place. And so it's not easily provoked. Are you the kind of person that's easily provoked? If you are, you ought to get over that. We ought to not be easily provoked. And we have to work on it. It is quiet. I don't get many amens on that particular point. But thank you, Brother Rigsby. Love is not suspicious. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Oh, how quickly we are as Christians to think evil about other people. Aha! I bet I know why that happened to them. They've got some secret sin somewhere, or those things wouldn't happen. Hey, you're in the category of Eliphaz, Bildad, and Job's dear close friend. We don't need friends like that. We shouldn't have those kind of friends. We should not be paranoid. We shouldn't become mudslingers. Amen? We shouldn't become mudslingers. Someone who doesn't trust anybody. Someone that doesn't love anybody. So we have the value of love, and then these things are the virtues of love, and then the victory of love in verse 8. And I would encourage you to even highlight this one in your Bible if you hadn't done it. Love never faileth. There it is. That's a fact. That's a reality of the Word of God. Love never faileth. Prophecies are going to fail. That is, having prophets and talk about the future. We don't have any new prophets. We don't need them. We have the prophecy of the Word of God. Tongues, languages, glossolalia. They cease, but charity never fails. Love never fails. It's just God's way. It's His way with us. Verse 9 says, don't get puffed up about what you know. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Don't get puffed up about it. You don't know much of anything sometimes. We don't know a whole lot about the future. We know what the Bible says about the future, but a lot of what we know is an educated guess. I do know what the Bible says, and that's all right. But there are some things God does not reveal to us, and we have to get along about those things. We don't have to fight over those things. If God didn't make it clear in His Word, then He probably didn't intend for it to get an emphasis in our theological discussions. We have to understand that. And so prophecy is sealed up until the time of the end. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. And we don't have all the answers. We also need humility about what we know and what we don't know. Humility about that. Love lasts, continues to last. It is more important, according to the Bible, than education. And education is important. It is more important than your ability. It is more important than money. It is more important than somebody who gives their money. It is more important than your looks. It is more important than prophecy. All of these things, he says, these things are going to pass away. So what's the greatest commandment? Love. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we could preach a whole message on who is our neighbor. But what would be the greatest sin then if this is the greatest admonition God has given us? One of the greatest sins we can commit as Christians is to not love like God has told us to love. We need to love like that. So that's the greatest virtue, as he mentions it in verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is charity. John reminds us in 13:35 these words, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. How? That you fight. You're fighting fundamentalists. And there's some things worth fighting for, and I understand that. But that's not what's going to impress the world. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? That we love one another. That we in this church love one another. We're all different. God is a God of variety. Listen to all the different music we have. I like that, variety. What if God had made every flower a tulip? Something of that nature. God is a God of variety. But by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. We're all different. We should never divide over little insignificant things, but we must have love, incredible love, constant love, and a love that is a sacrificial love, as the Bible teaches. We have to be sacrificial in our love. And someone has said it this way, drown every insult in the river of love. Well, that'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? You ever get insulted? We all do from time to time. What do you do with it? Get angry, get even, get mad? No. The best thing to do is drown every insult in the river of love. A lot of people are just not lovely. Just not lovely. Real love doesn't give me what I deserve. Thank God it gives me what I need. None of us would be saved if that were not true. Real love gives us what we need, not what we deserve. Real love says, I love you regardless of what you do to me. I love you no matter what you do to me, because it's the right thing to do. And, of course, the greatest testimony by this, people will know, the greatest motivation, what is it? What motivates us? What motivates us? 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. That should be the thing that motivates us. The old songwriter said, love, amazing love, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. It's our love for the Lord and His love for us. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, lovest thou me? He didn't say, Peter, do you love my sheep? He didn't say, do you love my sheep? No, he said, lovest thou me? Peter, do you love me? He asked him three times. And he didn't ask him, do you love my sheep, but do you love me? Why? Because that's the most important thing. If we love God like we should, we won't have a problem loving the sheep as preachers. The greatest confirmation. I want to know if you're saved. You want to know in your own heart if you're saved. 1 John 3:14 and 15, listen to this. This is a strong confirmation to you as to whether or not you're saved. We know that we have passed from death unto life. What's that? Salvation, right? We've passed from death unto life. We know that we have. Why? Because we love the brethren. These folks that say, I got saved, they don't want to come to church and fellowship, be with God's people, they're lying about it. Something happened, but it wasn't the real thing. It wasn't the real thing. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death, is unsaved, is lost. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That's God's way of saying, well, to love people. Love others. Things we need to do what God did. And what is that? God loves. There's probably somebody tonight you need to forgive for something and love them through it. They've hurt you. They've insulted you. They've harmed you in some way. But we need to do what God says and love one another. Why? Because the Bible says love is of God. And it's proof that we're saved. John 3:16. And thank God for His love, that whosoever believeth, God gave His only Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here tonight and you don't know you have everlasting life, you must accept the love of God. It isn't just an intellectual belief. May I say it needs to go deeper than that? And then just saying some little ditty prayer somewhere. It needs to be a heart change where you are committed to God. And you give your life to Him, you get saved, you get born again, you put your faith in God. And you, because you know that Christ loved you, you put your sins on the loving and lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God He will save you. He loves you with that kind of love. You say, well, He just doesn't know how bad I am. Oh, He knows how bad you are, but He loves you anyway, and He wants to save you. He wants to do that, just like so many of us, our sins forgiven, the Holy Spirit moving in. And then He wants, because of that, to teach us to love like He loves. Is that the way we live our lives tonight? Let's stand, please. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Are we practicing God's kind of love, 1 Corinthians? Maybe God has touched your heart about something in relationships, whatever it is, maybe in your life. May you come tonight and pray about it. If you're here without Christ, accept His love, unconditional love, that you might come to Him and be saved. Father, thank You for this wonderful chapter in the Word of God. And help us to realize that no matter what we're doing, no matter how good we can speak, no matter how educated we are, no matter how much money we have, no matter how talented we are, it means nothing unless we have Your kind of love. And God, we know this is important because of the way You put it in the Word of God. Help us to practice this kind of love. We'll give You the praise for it. I pray that somebody would be saved tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, may God help you to come if He's touched your heart about something. Are you living in that love relationship? How about it, husband? How about it, wife? How about it, young people? May God help you to come while we sing.
When I survey,
without love, God's kind of love is zero. Our giving, our living. Anybody you haven't forgiven? Is there? No matter who you are, may God help you to forgive them. To love them in spite of what they've done to you. Christian, can you honestly say tonight that's the way you're living your life? That kind of love? God, ask God to forgive you. Do you have jealousy, envy?
That were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so
how many of you would say, I have received God's love that I didn't deserve and I've been born again? Lift your hands for testimony. Just keep them up a moment. You know that? Keep them up just a moment. As I scan the congregation. Maybe some of you could not lift your hands, dear friend. This next verse for you, step out and come. Receive the love of God. Would you do it? Maybe God is leading you to join our church family here and serve. You found us to be a loving people, hopefully. We can join our hands together in our hearts and love a lost world in Jesus Christ. Would you come tonight? God is leading you to do that.
Lord, it is more that I should fall, save in the death of Christ my
just a minute, please.
Let me remind you now, right after the service, we have a very important security meeting. It'll be right over in the fellowship hall. In fact, I see the gentleman that's probably going to lead that. Thank you for being in the service, sir. He's looking around. Amen. That's ushers and deacons and staff and nursery workers. It's an important subject. I hope you can make it. Everyone is invited to do that. 29ers, it's our time, Tuesday. 11 o'clock, Fellowship Hall. We got chili coming. Bring all the desserts and all the good stuff. Brother Tyler needs some practice in preaching. He'll be our speaker, and we'll have a good time. Also, if you'll notice, please bring some food, non non-perishable food. We're going to kind of collect some to help out our food pantry, so be a part of that. Next Saturday, three things going on. Number one, 8 o'clock in the morning, fellas, prayer breakfast. We'll meet here for a time of prayer and a challenge, and then we'll go eat. And then at night, our church-wide monthly prayer meeting at 7 o'clock right here in the auditorium. And then, as I've been telling you, set your clock back 1 hour. Can you remember to do that? I'm not going to call and remind you. You need to do that. You're going to be surprised Sunday morning, I promise you on that. Then coming soon, our Bible conference, November 17, 18. That's a Monday and Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. We have some brochures and things to pass out. Grab you some. Be inviting people. You'll be blessed. Brother Joe Arthur and Brother Gaddis, two wonderful preachers that will be challenging us. So be a part of that. Amen.
All right, Brother Josh Knickerbocker, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?